Hey everybody, welcome to Healing Outside the Box. I'm coming to you from Salem, Massachusetts, where it is lovely and sunny, and it's a holiday week, which altogether means that I'll be taking the week off and looking through my greatest hits of episodes to put up instead. I looked for my most popular episode on YouTube, and lo and behold, it was my episode covering my visit to the medical marijuana facility in Salem, Massachusetts. Now I'm sure you're thinking, Gene, does this have very much to do with sustainability or wholesome nutrition? And the answer is, well, no. But the reason I think a lot of people are finding this interesting and people are starting to invest in medical marijuana is that more and more people see that it is surely what is coming, and that is treating many medical conditions that include pain with marijuana instead of opiates. Let's hope that's why you're interested. But whether you are or not, and the beauty of audio is that you don't need to raise your hands, this episode's for you. Enjoy. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Healing Outside the Box. My name is Jean Tiberio, and I'm a nutritionist and a wellness coach. Today is episode 169, and I'm calling it My Trip to the Medical Marijuana Dispensary. Now this week I'm giving my brain a rest, so I'm not coming at you with an intense nutritional biochemistry lecture. Not even close. I'm taking a snooze this week. Phoning it in, putting my feet up. Any relationship to the subject of today's podcast is completely coincidental. Now, what was the subject? Oh yes, the hoops that one has to jump through in order to get medical marijuana here in Massachusetts. In case you're new to this podcast, I indeed have a disease, and I call my particular disease muscular dystrophy. That is, I did call my disease muscular dystrophy. The truth is that I was recently re-diagnosed with a specific type of neuromuscular disease called hereditary inclusion body myopathy. Muscular dystrophy by itself just means weak or wasting muscles. It's not a diagnosis as much as it is a symptom. Just 2 years ago, however, after having limb girdle muscular dystrophy since the 80s, I took a DNA test to check for a very specific type of genetic neuromuscular disease. So I put some of my spittle into a test tube and sent it off to the lab to be tested for hereditary inclusion body myopathy. And sure shooting, the test came back positive. Now, I have my new disease, which changes my life not one single bit, since basically there isn't a cure for either one of those diseases, or a treatment. I've been in a wheelchair since 1990, and yes, truth be told, it's starting to get old. Did I just rhyme? Oh, speaking of rhyming, I'm in the process of writing a poem or a song about President Trump's departing friends. And let's call them friends for simplicity's sake. So anyway, if you know someone that can strum a guitar and sing, write me a note on my contact page, which is on my website, healingoutsidethebox.com. Let's see if we can make some music, and I'll put it up on my YouTube channel for everyone to enjoy free of charge. Not like those Taylor Swift type people. But I digress. So right now, I'm in a wheelchair, and I can pretty much only wiggle the fingers of my left hand and turn my head a little bit from side to side. I cannot do much of anything else. I use dictating software to dictate when I write, which is pretty much every day. I can wag my tongue quite a bit, I imagine that's obvious, and I am super sensitive to pain, so those nerves are working just fine. It's really about the muscles, not necessarily the nerves. Okay, so back to the story. There's actually only a few physicians around here that you can go to be certified, so I wheeled myself to the quote-unquote physician's office to be certified to get my card. Before going there, I told them that I was in a power wheelchair. The woman said, oh, okay. We arrived at this big white house-like building with no sign leading up to the driveway. The parking lot was a dirt parking lot. Because we weren't sure that we were in the right place, my driver stepped out to see which door would be the handicapped accessible door. As it turned out, there was no such door because the doctor's office was not accessible and was in fact on the second floor. So I never got out of the van. We called them and said basically, "What's up with this?" By the way, it's 2 decades after the ADA laws were put into effect that mandate handicapped accessible entrances for doctor's offices. So a woman came down to the dirt parking lot, introduced herself as the doctor's secretary, and asked us for the $200 in cash that was mandatory for all patients to register. I thought that she mentioned that it was a one-time fee, so she was either incorrect or perhaps fibbing. Hard to know. I asked her how the doctor can check me out to determine if I could be eligible for the medical marijuana card, seeing that I'm stuck in the van and all, and I can't wheel up a flight of stairs with a power wheelchair. And then she said that to her, I certainly look like I would be eligible. I then said, "Doesn't the doctor need to see me?" She said, "I think it's okay." So I signed the paperwork with the secretary in the parking lot, and off we went with our medical marijuana card application. There were more hoops to jump through, but they could be done through the internet and phone. By the way, I hear that the particular doctor that was there was a psychiatrist, but again, his office was certainly not ADA compliant, and I'm not sure whether he was a psychiatrist or he needed a psychiatrist. I can't be sure. There may be a thin gray line there. As it turns out, my medical marijuana card expires every year, and I wasn't about to go through that shenanigans again. So I made 9 or 10 phone calls and found out that there actually is another medical marijuana doctor right here in Salem, Massachusetts. So off I went last Friday to this quote-unquote doctor to get recertified for my medical marijuana card. Again, it was a brick building with no shingle, unless you count the Dunkin' Donuts sign on the first floor. Again, the office was on the second floor. But this office had an elevator. Praise be. That was the good news. The bad news was that the elevator wasn't really big enough for a power wheelchair. My home health aide had to jam me in at an angle, and we put my feet up all crunched up and everything against the side of the elevator. The elevator actually shut on me a couple of times before we got the door to shut without hitting me. The elevator then opened up into a strange, dark, and a bit dingy hallway that turned in a horseshoe, leading to a glass door. At the reception desk, if you could call it that, there was a young guy with long, dark hair who could only be described as one half of Cheech and Chong. Let's call him Cheech. The quote-unquote office where he was sitting was really more of a hallway than an office. In a 19th century house, this would be called the parlor or waiting room. So this was a converted house, which actually wasn't that converted. My home health aide, myself, and Cheech pretty much took up the whole room. He looked surprised to see me, and I have some experience with this, being in a wheelchair for 28 years and all, to know what he was thinking. He was thinking, "Oh my God, we actually have a disabled person. This is so cool." The first thing I noticed was that his mouse pad was decorated with marijuana leaves, as was his screensaver. The second thing I noticed was that there was a corner table with a huge jar full of lollipops. I'm not making this up, folks. I had a witness, which was my home health aide. My home health aide, Ray, was my driver and accompanied me into the office. And yes, my home health aide is a 23-year-old man, and yes, he had to give me a shower today. And no, none of this is by choice necessarily. The home health agency sends someone that is available, and that person has to do the personal care that is required. But I digress. Back to the medical marijuana clinic. Cheech, at the front desk, had to be stoned, as we agreed later, because there was no other way to explain his behavior. First, he looks at me smiling, very happy that he got a disabled one, then looks at Ray, then back at me. Enough said about that. Actually, not enough said about that, but I'll move on. Cheech then gave us a clipboard to fill in some medical information. As you recall, during the first certification, there was no doctor and there was no medical information. Cheech hands us a clipboard that has multiple pages of questions. One of the first questions was, please list all of your medications. Ray and I both groaned at this because, like most chronically ill people, I have a lot of medications. When I said something like, you need all of my medication? Cheech then said, oh no, one or two will be fine. So as I mentioned, the room was so small that we couldn't move from where we were. So people were coming in the door, and they would have to squeeze by my wheelchair and go somewhere else to wait. So we're filling out these multiple pages of forms without that much detail or accuracy. We're getting the picture that it's not important. Then Cheech leans over onto the floor, picks up a cheap blood pressure monitor, then turns to us and says, would you mind getting your blood pressure? At this point, we both laughed, assuming he was kidding. He was not. So Ray, who has never taken my blood pressure because he is not allowed to, took my blood pressure. So then we were chit-chatting with Cheech and having a grand old time, thinking we could go soon. And it couldn't be soon enough. I knew I would be laughing about this eventually, but not at the time. There was a very strange vibe to this place. In the adjacent room, which looked like it might have been a living room or dining room, there were three other guys walking aimlessly around the room. This house must have been at least 200 years old, and although the outside structure was beautiful, the inside was run down. By the way, I would later discover that one of the wandering men with gray hair, bald on top, ponytail in the back, would turn out to be the doctor. Next, the altogether too happy nurse walked toward us with a stethoscope around her neck. That's how we would know she was the nurse. Otherwise, she was dressed in a very short skirt and a t-shirt. She brought Ray and I into a room with an enormous brand new computer and almost no furniture. I'm not sure the stethoscope was real, but at some point she got up with her stethoscope and said, I'm going to hear your breathing now. She didn't even lean me forward, as most people do, just listened to my lungs and said, you seem to be breathing just fine. At this time, I was again thinking, I really want to get out of here. It wasn't as bad as that movie, Get Out, or maybe it was just a funnier version of it. Then the doctor walks in, or should I say strolls in. He was definitely a hippie type, with, I'm sure, some kind of a degree. I looked around on all the walls, and there were no diplomas that stated as such. But let's go with some sort of degree. He was dressed in old dungarees and a sweatshirt, and had that ponytail. He pulls up a folding chair, literally right next to the nurse sitting at the enormous computer. Again, there was no desk or three-wheeled footstool that the doctors usually squat on to wheel around the room. He looks at me, smiles a big smile, and says, well, hello there. I'm so-and-so. Then he pronounces his first and last name with no doctor in the front. I didn't notice this at the time, but Ray told me later that while I was talking to him, he looked up at the ceiling, his eyes wandered around, looking at something that must have been interesting on the ceiling. At that time, my eyes were busy darting around the room, looking for those framed diplomas. Maybe the diplomas were in the next room, possibly the guest bedroom. Then the two of them went about searching the screen for evidence that I had, in fact, legitimately gotten a medical marijuana card. The rules, ironically, are extremely strict when it comes to getting the card itself. When they finally brought me up on the computer, the doctor exclaims, there you are. Yes, there I am. The two of them then spent a great deal of time trying to figure out how to work the new computer program. Now, I don't want to be overly critical, but that's the only computer program they need to know. The doctor then leans back in his folding chair, which is hard to do, and starts talking about how the Brookline Mass Dispensary has much better stuff and it's a really cool setup there. I told them that Brookline was a bit too far for me to go and that the Salem Dispensary is only a mile from my house. But he kept talking up the Brookline dispensary, saying things like, all you have to do is sit there in one of those nice couches and they take your order and then deliver it straight to you on the couch. I wanted to do some talking myself, but thought better of it because the less I say, the faster I leave. So we finally bid everyone farewell, and as Ray was opening the glass door for our escape, I heard Cheech yelling out, Happy birthday, Jean! Yes, indeed, that's how I spent my birthday. Totally by chance. So with my MM card in hand, and cash also in hand, they take only cash at these dispensaries, I went to the dispensary in Salem to get my edibles. You actually have to have the street address to find this place. That's because there are no signs, and it is literally an old brick building that used to be some sort of factory. The only way to know that this is the medical marijuana dispensary is that there is a big guy in a folding chair sitting next to an ATM machine. That guy is an armed guard, but you would never know it to look at him or speak to him. He's like the guy in the neighborhood that everyone stops to chat with because he's so friendly to everyone and has all sorts of stories to share. Ray heard some of these stories because he was forced to stand outside while I went in by myself. I had to show my picture ID and my medical marijuana card before entering the outside door. Between the doors, there was another armed guard who took my two picture IDs before I went any further. After waiting a while they checked me out, I was escorted in to the main dispensary room. The dispensary here in Massachusetts is run like a bakery. You get a paper ticket with your number and then sit and wait to be called on. The ladies that wait on you are behind a barrier that looks like their tellers in a bank. Since I'm already seated in my wheelchair, I took the opportunity to wheel around and look at the selection board. This is a big whiteboard with different colored magic markers on it. They explained all of the different products that they offer and have original sounding names for them. One of them was called Serious Happiness. Seriously. So I was nervous in preparing what I was going to ask the woman. I wanted to say, excuse me, could I please get some serious happiness in a lollipop? But instead I just said, can I get lollipops? Unfortunately, she told me that they only have candy bars, but that I could choose between milk chocolate, dark chocolate, and white chocolate. Each type of chocolate had a different type of pot. I ordered up a milk chocolate bar, which was $30 for one candy bar. The piped-in music they were playing was, believe it or not, Ground Control to Major Tom. The woman told me how much she loved that song, and I told her how I also loved that song. Although, to be honest, I just wanted to agree with whatever she was saying because she seemed so happy, and I didn't want to spoil it for her. Then off I went with my $30 candy bar, exchanging pleasantries with the outside armed guard, who always seems happy to see me, and I suppose he always seems happy to see everyone. So, what is my opinion about the Massachusetts medical marijuana program? It's got some kinks to work out, for sure. But speaking as someone who is super sensitive to pain due to a debilitating neuromuscular disease, this has been part of my plan to get off harmful pharmaceuticals. And I, in fact, am taking less drugs than I had been taking. My primary care doctor had prescribed me Ambien for 12 years, and I was told to take it every night, presumably for the rest of my life. I stopped taking the Ambien a year ago on my own. One time the pills ran out on a holiday weekend, and no doctor covering would fill the script. I panicked and I was very anxious to have to go off the pills cold turkey. After panicking many times when things like that would happen, I just made the decision to go off the Ambien. I am relieved to feel that I am no longer dependent on a Class A substance. It's also been several years since I have taken a Percocet as well. And yes, I'd like to add that I use meditation as another tool in the toolbox to help with the physical pain and to soothe any anxiousness that I get. And yes, I know that there is a possible risk of psychological dependency with medical marijuana. But overall, if I can use less pharmaceuticals with a combination of therapies, That can only be a good thing. And you can put that in your pipe and smoke it, if you so choose. That's all I have for you today. Be well and stay tuned next week for another episode of Healing Outside the Box.